Hello. The seatbelt check is around the corner.
You actually were telling the truth.
I do that quite a lot. Your people are always surprised.
Welcome aboard. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be some turbulence up ahead. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
To those guests who've just joined us, welcome.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your hosts. My name is Ryan.
And this is Dak.
And on this week's episode, we are getting back to the basics, Disneyland style.
That's right. So we did a back to the basics Disney World version. Basically,
it was well received.
It was well received. Yes. And so we thought, well, let's give it a little bit of a break and then we'll come back and do Disneyland. And so here we are, Disneyland back to the basics.
I think this is exciting, and you had a question you wanted to ask me.
Yeah, so I think just to start off, I think a lot of our listeners are Disney World goers. We may have a few Disneylanders, but if you kind of experienced this, and of course I did it at one point, but you're probably the newest to it. So as a avid Disney World goer, what do you think is the draw, or what would make you want to go to Disneyland?
Let me answer that by saying why I was hesitant to go to okay. Disneyland at first.
That works.
I think because Disney World, I consider to be my home park.
For right? sure.
You got four kingdoms. You've got water parks. You've got this Disney bubble that exists. The Lake Buena Vista area celebration. It's a bubble.
Yeah.
And I think when you invest X amount of dollars, X amount of time to go to Disney World, you are getting a certain amount of value in return.
Sure.
And then you start thinking about Disneyland. It's two parks. It's a downtown Disney area. There's no Disney bubble as like there is in Florida.
Not right? compared to Florida, right.
And it's in Southern California. It's more expensive to get there for a lot of people. And I think for me, the hesitation was, it may be around the same cost to go to Disneyland as Disney World for half the value.
Sure.
So why am I going to go to Disneyland and just spend 2 or 3 days tops, spend the same on airfare, spend the same on park tickets, spend the same on lodging, maybe even more on lodging, and we'll get into that.
Sure.
I think that was my hesitation. But to answer your question, I think the reason why I ultimately chose to go there, number one, you were nagging me. For so long.
Yeah.
And we did our first, this was your idea. Like years ago, we started these guys trips. And if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know, we try to do an annual guys trip. Sometimes it's just, you know, you, me, and Randy. Sometimes it's 10 guys. We've done them on a yearly basis for 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah.
And you suggested, guys, let's go to Disneyland for one of our guys trips. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, we've been going to Disney World. I've never been to Disneyland, so let's give it a shot. And I was hooked.
Yeah.
I think once you get past the hesitation and maybe the fear of everything I just described, and you actually get there, then you realize, oh, this is actually really magical. This is actually a really cool place to be.
Yeah, for me, I think originally, I had a work thing out in California. I was in a conference all day long. My wife came with me, and she went and spent a lot of the day at Disneyland. So she actually went to Disneyland before I did.
I did not know that.
And so met the guys from Duck Dynasty, actually. Crazy story.
I've heard the story.
Yeah. So anyways, we'll save that for another episode. But yeah, so she goes. We ended up doing a Halloween party. So didn't really get the full effect of what Disneyland has to offer. And so the next time around, when it came time for us to maybe look at doing a family Disney vacation, I pushed a little harder for Disneyland because I think for me, I don't know, as weird as this sounds, it felt like a Disney fan's, you know, rite of passage or pilgrimage. To go back to Disneyland where it all started. I had heard other people talk about how special it was because Walt had his finger on the park, and I was like, I don't know if I buy that sort of thing. And then one of our other buddies, he told me that how intense the decorations were at Disneyland for Christmas, and he just kept pitching me on it and pitching me on it to sell me to go to Disneyland for Christmas. And so we finally, we didn't go at Christmas time, but we finally agreed to go to Disneyland. And I think we were hooked as well. Like, we just fell in love with everything about Disneyland and, you know, all that it has to offer, which we'll get into here as we start into the show. But I was just curious to kind of start things off, like, what would drive a person that's primarily a Disney World goer to go to Disneyland? And so I think, if for nothing else, maybe it is your rite of passage and your pilgrimage to the Disney Mecca.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting. You brought something up that made me think about something. I think it's important to understand, and maybe if you don't already understand this, I didn't until I started going to Disneyland, and it probably took me two or three times after being there that you start to realize that Disney World and Disneyland, obviously, they're on different sides of the country, but they are operated very differently.
Oh,
there's a lot of similarities. Same corporation, right?
Yeah.
Different divisions.
Absolutely. I think that's the strangest part of it all, is that you're right. Between Disneyland, Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, they all operate very, very differently from each other. Still great customer service in their own special ways, and different, you know, you still feel the Disney magic, but it is different from each other, for sure. That's a very good point. Absolutely. All right, well, let's get into it. The Disney basics. Last time we talked about basically the who, what, where, why, and when. So the first
thing, took us five episodes.
Yeah, we're gonna shrink this down, because Disneyland's smaller. So we don't need five episodes
for Disneyland.
So let's start with Wendigo. So I think what we'll find is, as far as Wendigo, it's going to be very similar to the Disney World. You know, and if you want to go back and listen to those episodes, you know, absolutely great episodes about when to go to Disney World. But I think it aligns with Disneyland as well, with maybe a few interesting scenarios that you have to keep in mind. And so what I mean by that is, we had kind of identified, you know, October, Halloween time, Christmas time, November, December. Those are going to be great times to go as far as seeing decorations and just seeing the parks at their best. The other thing we talked about on the Disney World version was, you know, just be smart, right? Like, if people are out of school for different holidays, such as the week of Thanksgiving, the week of Christmas, you know, summertime, it's going to be busier. And so if you're trying to avoid the busy season, the same rules apply, I think. Don't go when 90% of other people are on vacation or trying to go to the parks as well. Try to pick spots where there are some, you know, you're going to have to give a little to get a little, right? You're going to have to give up maybe some school time or some in the middle of the year time to be able to go to Disneyland when there's lower crowds. We've always gone, because my birthday is in September, we've always gone mid-September. And so we're getting the Halloween season. We typically get pretty low crowds. And I mean, you could say this across the board almost any time. You get fabulous weather in September, kind of cool in the mornings, maybe a light jacket. By 11:30 or noon, you're taking that jacket off and your t-shirts and shorts. And then by the evening, it cools off again. So they kind of get that desert effect, right? Where it's warmer during the day and cooler
Although
at night.
Although our first guys trip there was in September, and I believe it was in the 90s.
Yeah, so that
was really hot, a really hot trip. But it did cool down a little bit in the evenings, like you said.
No, I agree. Yeah. If you want absolutely perfect weather, I would say from November through probably February, March, even into April, mm-hmm. you're going to get absolutely superb weather in Southern. I mean, you're going to get good weather in Southern California anyways.
Yeah. But everybody knows Southern California has great weather.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. As far as the other thing that I was going to point out, as far as Wendigo, the one thing that I think a lot of people lose touch with is that, unless you're going consistently to Disneyland, is that Disneyland is a locals park.
I was
going to
bring that up. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been talking forever, but kind of give your two cents on why you think that has an impact on when you go and how your experience is with Disney.
Well, I think with Disney World, you get the international travelers. You get a lot of families that are making that trip, maybe making their first trip to Disney World as a family. and they're taking kids out of school. We did that a lot. I mean, we've talked about this, like, for the first probably 5-6 years of my own family's traveling, that we would take the kids out of school all the time.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do. You're going out there for a week at a time. You're taking the kids out. But you don't do that for Disneyland. You don't do a 4 to 5 day trip
out
there.
That's very true.
Right? So it really is designed for just kind of the locals and guys like us that make these guys trips, right? I think obviously you're going to have the family trips that, you know, they're coming from maybe Utah, New Mexico, Northern California.
Sure.
Maybe an extended weekend. But I think because the park, I mean, you only have two parks there and you can do both of the parks really well, probably no more than 3 days.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think, you could stretch it out if you wanted to and double up on a few, you know, rides and attractions and so forth. But I think anything more than 3-4 days, you're just...
I think if anything, people going to Southern California, if they're doing the week-long vacation, they're including other things.
Absolutely.
They're going into LA, Hollywood, maybe Universal Hollywood.
Yeah, the beach.
The beaches.
Yeah.
Maybe heading down to San Diego. That's what you guys do.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So, you know, I think... But just looking at Disneyland as a whole, 2-3 days tops... And I think, you know, during the school year, like you said, when kids are in school, that really is a good time to go. You're not going to have very crowded parks because the locals, well, they're going to be in school. Now, Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays, that's another story. But Monday, probably through Thursday, Friday morning is a really good time to go to the parks.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Try to avoid the weekends if you can. And then just know for a fact that come 6-7 o'clock at night, almost every night, weekday or weekend, there's going to be an influx of crowds because locals just kind of come in and it's, I don't know if it's a cultural thing or like it's a local thing, right? They're like, hey, let's swing by Disneyland for an hour or two, ride a couple of rides and go home. And that's our evening, right? And so I think because it's so accessible, that's very easy to do, right?
And I think that's one of the... That was one of the shocks to me when I went for the first time, which was, you know, at Disney World, they have so much land there. It's 47 square miles of property in Florida. And you have, you know, you have Disney World Way. You have a couple different ways to get into the resort. But you're on the roads and it's like you see things here and there, but it's not like crowded. It's just there's so much land there. At Disneyland, this is... right in the smack of Anaheim.
Yeah, it's very compact.
Very compact. It's all commercialized right outside the front gates.
Yeah.
Again, this is one of the things that it's a big strike against Disneyland is that you don't actually get to feel the magic until you're actually in the park, right?
For sure.
Because you got people hawking their crap on the sidewalks, yeah, right?
It's so
true. As you're trying to get in and as you're leaving.
And every other part of city life, right?
Exactly. I mean, you just people going to work and... driving around, you got restaurants and hotels just right outside the city gates, the park gates.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but I think going back to the original question, great time to go when school is out. I'm sorry, when school is in during those little cooler months.
Yeah, for sure. And then they do have, we touched on this before as well at Disney World, they do have a few festivals throughout the year. Mm-hmm. They have one that's the Lunar Year that's celebrated, you know, kind of mid-January through mid-February. Disney California Adventure has a food and wine just like over at Epcot. That's typically February, April, you know, kind of spring break time. They also have a Season of the Force, which I think is pretty cool. That's a Star Wars festival. And then they have, you know, of course, we mentioned earlier, Halloween time. That's going to run basically late August, early September through October. And then you have the Festival of the Holidays, which is going to start somewhere in November 14th and then run all the way through the Christmas season. One thing I will say that's kind of interesting in regards to holidays, and then we'll switch over to kind of where to stay when you go to Disneyland, is Disneyland is very famous for their overlays.
100%.
So they have Christmas overlays, they have Halloween overlays in regards to their attractions. It will be very important for you if you're planning a trip during these months to know when these attractions are going to reopen in their overlay form. If you go, you know, mid-August, expecting to get on the Haunted Mansion, you might be sorely disappointed because it might be shut down as they're putting the Halloween overlay on it. And so that could be...
How long does that usually take? It's a couple of weeks, right?
It's a couple of weeks. Yeah. It's significant. And so that's one thing to keep in mind is with these things that are going on at Disneyland, you got to be aware of, you know, check your calendars, your official Disneyland calendars for which rides are down and which rides are, you know, operational.
Can we talk about the layout real fast? I don't know how this... We didn't do this with Disney World.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think it's important. Disneyland is... I do like the way it's laid out. When you go through the front gates, right? You enter the Esplanade, right?
Yes. Is that what it's called? Yeah, yeah.
Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, it's just this... It's like a big courtyard. I mean, it's a gigantic courtyard. If you were to continue straight, you'd go down to the downtown Disney area. And then on the right-hand side is California Adventure.
Right.
On the left is Disneyland. It's all right there, which makes things really convenient when you're trying to park hop.
Yeah, I think that's the one advantage that Disneyland has over Disney World. And this may go with where to stay as well as we started transitioning into that, is that I think it's very manageable, right? So if you stay close to the Disneyland property, you're walking distance between the two parks and downtown Disney at all times, right? Because they're so close to each other. If you imagine kind of a triangle, each side of the triangle touches either California Adventure, Disneyland, or downtown Disney. And the area in between is probably no bigger than, what, a football field at the most? I don't even think it's that big.
Yeah, it's not very big. Well, I mean, it's a good size, but it's big enough to hold a lot of people, but not so big that you're like, well, it's going to take forever to get across.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so let's get into that. Where to stay? So this is where I think there's a huge difference between Disneyland and Disney World. I think
this part stresses me. I'm not going to lie. Thinking about where to stay going to Disneyland is a huge stressor for me.
Yeah, yeah. It's so different. I mean, at Disney World, you have... You know, we had to break it up where to stay into two parts, staying on site, staying off site. So you stay on site at Disney World, you have, what is it, like 40, 50 hotel options?
Something like that.
Yeah. It's an insane amount of number. And then, of course, you have all of the vacation rental properties. Disneyland, I think, works pretty differently, very differently. So Disneyland has three on-site properties or resorts. Your Pixar Place is kind of your, I don't want to call it, it's probably the equivalent of a moderate. It's definitely not a value because you're still going to spend $300-$400 a night at Pixar Place. They just redid it. It's really cool. It's all Pixar'd out. So it's very based on the Pixar, you know, movies and so forth. Very nice hotel, very comfortable hotel. I think for a lot of people, the value doesn't meet the cost, or the benefits don't meet the cost, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Meaning that it's a good hotel, but it's just, I mean, you could find 100 different other hotels that are chain hotels that are just as nice and accommodating as the Pixar Place hotel. Unless you want to stay in a, you know, super themed out hotel. I would say the next level up is the Disneyland Hotel. This is my personal favorite. I love the Disneyland Hotel. It's kind of got that 60s Disneyland vibe to it. Very retro. It's the grounds there are absolutely beautiful. They're very tropical. The pool there is amazing. They have a monorail slide. Cost-wise, you're probably somewhere in that $500 to $600 a night range. And it's a DVC resort now as well.
Okay, yeah.
I love the Disneyland Hotel. Cannot say enough about the Disneyland Hotel and how much we love it. And then probably their granddaddy flagship hotel is the Grand Californian. It is a, what would you call it? Like a wilderness lodge.
It's type beautiful.
It's gorgeous, right? So it's got that wilderness national park type of theming to it. When you walk into the lobby, it looks like you're walking into a grand lodge, you know, in Yellowstone or someplace like that. Fairly expensive. I would say you're probably now on the upper end of $600 to $700 a night. And then it goes up from there. It's also a DVC or a Disney Vacation Club, you know, resort as well. Has a spa and all kinds of nice things about it. Man, the lobby is just gorgeous. You go in there, they have a massive fireplace. You can just kind of sit in the lobby and there's a guy playing a piano. It's just, it's absolutely amazing.
And this is definitely one of the advantages is that this hotel actually has its own park entrance.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a great point. So Disneyland Hotel and Pixar Place, they're both kind of on the other end of downtown Disney. So you have to walk through downtown Disney to get to the parks from each of those hotels. Whereas to your point, Grand Californian, it has its own entrance into California Adventure, and it also has an entrance into downtown Disney, kind of halfway through downtown Disney. And so it kind of pops you out there and you can go over to Disneyland and it's fairly convenient. Man, I can't say enough good things about the Disneyland Hotel and the Grand Californian. Both are, if you have the money and you want to splurge, these are beautiful hotels to stay at.
Dude, speaking of pricing, I quickly searched for the Pixar Place hotel pricing. Dude, the cheapest room I could find, $456 a night.
Yeah.
They've got rooms in the, like, up like $2,000 range.
Yeah, I just can't, in my mind, I cannot justify spending that much money for that hotel. It is, I would put it on par with like a Hilton. That's probably the best guess that I would. I don't want to offend anybody by saying that.
I like Hilton's.
Yeah, no, super
I'm
nice hotels. They're not
$500 a night for
Yeah, but they're not. You're spending to be now. They did just add their own private entrance as well. You still have to cross the street, but it does drop you off in California Adventure. But again, I just can't, in my mind, I can't justify the cost for the value add of Pixar Place, unless you're just like a huge Pixar fan and you just want to stay on property. Outside of that, and this was one of the concerns that Walt had from the very beginning when he built Disneyland. Outside of that, you have probably a 2 to 3 block radius in every direction from the Disneyland properties of different hotel chains. From, you know, your major hotel chains to your mom and pop hotel chains and everything from, you know, exquisitely nice hotels to, hey, we're just here to sleep and go to the parks, right? I think the city of Anaheim does a really good job. They have their own internal bus system. I believe it's called ART, that will take you around and drop you off and transport you. So again, if you're flying into the LA area and you Uber or light ride share over to one of these hotels, don't feel like we need a car unless you're going to go do, like we talked about earlier, some of the other things, you know, the beaches and the other sites of Southern California. But I think if you're just doing a Disneyland trip, you don't need to have a vehicle, in my opinion.
Every time that I've been there, we've rented a car to get from the airport to the hotel, and then we just left it parked.
Yeah.
We could have probably Ubered. There's something about Ubering, and so I don't know. Maybe that's just another thing that I'm afraid of. But yeah, we've rented a car and then just left it at the hotel and just walked the half mile or whatnot to get to the parks. So
yeah. There are some fabulous hotels around around Disneyland. The one that we stayed at last time that I'll just give some props to, it's called the Theme Park Entrance by Marriott, and it has its own water park. The rooms had 2 queens and a bunk bed in it, so you could comfortably sleep. What was it? 2, 4, 6 people in the room, and had 2 separate bathrooms. So that someone could, you know, you could have 2 people getting ready at the same time. Not 2 separate bathrooms, but 2 showers, right? So you, anyways, that's a great option. We've stayed at one, I believe it was called Element. That's kind of your mid-level hotel. Also a great hotel. I think because there's so much hotel competition around Disneyland, a lot of these hotels are competing with each other. So they know they have to keep it clean. It's got to be, you know, close to the parks and all of these things. But you can get some hotel, you know, literally right across the street from Disneyland.
So we stayed there 2 Decembers ago. I went with, so my wife and I went with my brother and his wife, and we stayed at a place called the Tropicana.
Okay. Yep.
Tropicana Inn and Suites, I believe, which literally was right across from, we walked out, you know, the parking garage or whatnot, and took a left, and basically we were right there in front of the gates.
Yeah.
Maybe a 10-12 minute walk, but it's kind of an older hotel. You're still, I mean, for December, I think it was close to $200 a night.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is probably more now because everything's more expensive nowadays.
right.
But again, you're paying for the location. It was clean. It was a place to sleep. We weren't going back to the hotel in the middle of the day to, you know, swim in the pool and check out the amenities because there really weren't any.
Yeah.
You know, it was actually a motel style. Doors are on the outside.
Okay.
So, but again, you could not beat the location to the parks. So again, not a sponsor of the show, but Tropicana Inn and Suites there in Anaheim. Cheaper, probably, and the location was great.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's it. I think, you know, you just get on one of these hotel sites or, you know, speak with your travel agent and they're going to find a budget. I think that that's the one thing that's a little bit more, I don't know, convenient, nice about going to Disneyland is you have so many different financial options when it comes to the hotels, right? You can get pretty affordable hotels still close to the parks, walking distance to the parks. Sometimes I feel like when you're at Disney World, not that it's one versus the other, but really your only options to be close to the parks is to stay on site, in which case you're paying, you know, Disney prices, which can sometimes, you know, creep up on you a little bit. That's the one advantage I would say from a hotel staying experience at Disneyland versus Disney World.
And so let's get into this right now too. So I'm sure some people are asking, well, you guys talked about Airbnbs at the Disney World episode. What about Airbnbs? So I'll share my personal experience.
Okay.
I don't have one. You know why? Because every time we tried to look for an Airbnb close to Disneyland, it was the most outrageously priced.
Yes.
If you wanted something close, if you want something far away from Disneyland, you can get an Airbnb for, I guess, not a bad price. Again, me not being from that area, I didn't know, like, is this a nice area or not? I don't know. I'm very familiar with all the Airbnb areas in Florida. Oh, yeah, we're not going to stay there. We can stay here. This is 10 minutes. This is 15 minutes. This is a great neighborhood. It's gated. I know all of that. Disneyland, I had no idea. So I'm looking at prices. I'm like, well, this is, you know, $250 a night. Then you start reading the reviews. Oh, I probably shouldn't stay there, you know, for $250 a night, right?
That was our experience as well. It felt like to me you had to be in that $500 to $600 and up range of a vacation rental per night, in which case, for me, I love the extra space. But if I'm going to spend $500 or $600 a night, I'm going to see if I can stay at the Disneyland Hotel or the Grand Californian, because you're just that much closer. It's so much more convenient. And I agree with you. I'm not familiar enough with the neighborhoods and area. And for me, again, a lot of those, even the close ones, were not really truly walking distance. They might be, but I mean, you're hoofing it a little bit. You're not just like across the street like you can be with some of the hotels. So I think maybe that's the downside of Disneyland, is that your vacation rental options are probably not as good as they are
in
Florida.
I'm not trying to make this a comparison, right? But I think at Disney World, we've talked about how the bubble extends beyond the parks because there are so many Airbnbs. There's a lot of restaurants and you know, gift shops, and everything just is like throwing up Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a good 5 to 10, even maybe 20 miles away from Disney World. I did not get that same feeling at Disneyland. Disneyland to me was like, here's the parks, and as soon as you step outside of the gate, you are in Anaheim.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the tough thing there, and not to say that Orlando doesn't have other competing, you know, interests and entertainment and all of those things, because it certainly does. But I think that one thing that is very, very different is it just felt like, you're right, there's the immediate Disneyland bubble. And then once you step out of it, it's like, hey, we're Southern California. We have a lot of other things to offer as well that can be just as family entertaining or enjoyable as Disneyland, right? Like we have renowned beaches that are wonderful and fun and all of these things. We have great restaurants. We have great nightlife and entertainment. And so I think because California has so many different locations that can kind of stand on their own, so to speak, mm-hmm. you don't get that extended bubble like you do. And I mean, let's be honest, the Disney World bubble, they're kind of in the middle of nowhere, right? I mean, not like isolated, but there's Orlando proper and then there's Disney World.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like two cities that are, you know, not directly connected with each other. So I think the residents and the stores and everything that reside around Disney World, they know, hey, this is our bread and butter. And
so
they play to that.
Disney World goes down, everything within a 25-mile radius of Disney World is going
to
go down.
Yeah. As opposed to Disneyland, you know, different story. I think some of those businesses and restaurants and so forth, they're fine on their own.
Yeah. Right?
There's other entertaining, you know, factors out there in California to draw in people.
Yeah. And I think too, if you look towards the future, Disneyland, they are expanding California Adventure. They're coming up with the Avenger campus is expanding. There's even talk about opening a third gate out there, which I think would be huge for Disneyland.
They're going to get the Avatar,
Pandora add on. So they are making strides to increase capacity, to increase their presence. Not that they really need it. I mean, everybody knows Disneyland. It's the original park, right? But I think they probably really want to tap into some international travelers, to some more making Disneyland that vacation destination.
Yeah.
As opposed to just kind of relying on locals, which you can fact check me on this. I'm just pulling this out of the air. I thought I heard one time that Disneyland's about 70 to 75% locals.
I mean, I would believe that. Yeah.
Out of state people. Whereas it's flipped at
absolutely
Disney World. A lot of out of staters, international people compared to just a small percentage of locals there in Florida. But with all that said, I love Disneyland. I would say 100%. Like, if you've never been, you have to go. It's Walt's park. Like, he literally walked down Main Street. He had an apartment on Main Street. He had, I mean, the Jungle Cruise. He was walking down the gully there, you know, mapping out stuff. Like, I just think that if you're a big fan of Disney history, Disneyland is an absolute place you need to go.
Yeah. And what I would add, just kind of some closing thoughts, is I think Disneyland, if you're even a first time goer to Disney, or you're, you know, trying to dip your toe in the Disney world of parks, I think Disneyland and California Adventure are very manageable parks, very easy to navigate, very easy to figure out and get your bearings on and be able to, you know, spend 2-3 days there and then be done, right? And so, whereas my feelings on Disney World, and again, not trying to say this versus the other, Disney World to me seems so overwhelming at first. You know, there's four big parks, you got a bus system, you got mass transit and, you know, monorails and everything, right? And so I felt like I had to, you know, get a degree in Disney prior to going to Disney World. Whereas I think if you're a first time or second time goer to the parks, I think Disneyland is a very manageable park. And so what I'm trying to get at is that might be a good starter for someone. And then you try your hand at Disney World and see which one you like better.
Yeah. And Disneyland, again, like some advantages. They're usually open later. Midnight was not uncommon for, I think, most of my trips out there. At least one of the parks has been open till midnight. So park hopping's super easy. If you get the park hopper pass, you just walk across to the other side. I would say, too, this was on a trip, that December trip I was talking about. We had the most magical time. It was after the fireworks show, and it was probably 10 o'clock or so, and we were trying to close out Disneyland. I think we're going to head over to California Adventure for the last 2 hours, but we were closing out Disneyland and we were just hitting all the you know, Peter Pan.
Right there in Fantasyland.
Just boom, boom, boom. There's like four or five different rides there.
Dark rides.
Dark rides that Disney World doesn't have anymore. They have Peter Pan, but not, It's a Small World,
but not Pinocchio and Snow White.
And it was absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
To hit those. As kiddie as they are, right? But this was like, man, these are Walt's rides.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. Yeah. I think, again, because it feels so compact, you feel like you can bounce from one attraction to the next one without traveling a big distance, right? And so I agree. I think that's a lot of fun at Disneyland is just being able to kind of, you know, quickly move from one attraction to the next. And it's just a great park. If you, again, I think there's a lot of thoughts and emotions that come to me whenever I'm there as far as just the weather, and it's Walt's Park and there's the nostalgia of all those things, but there's still a familiarity of it, having been to Disney World first, where you're like, okay, this is their version of Fantasyland, this is their version of Tomorrowland, this is their, you know, and so it feels familiar. And then once you start to, you know, get past feeling familiar to feeling comfortable, man, it just becomes a really fun park to cruise through.
For you Pirates of the Caribbean fans, it's not uncommon. You might find the actual Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, that's right.
Guest starring in the Pirates ride.
Yeah, no,
he's done
sure.
that. He's done that several times.
I think I've seen more famous people at Disneyland than Disney World.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, just proximity to Hollywood. Yeah, stuff like that.
Well, listen, we'd love to hear your thoughts and feedback. Have you been to Disneyland? Do you love it? Where do you stay when you go? And when do you go? We'd love to hear from you. So give us a like and a follow on all of your social media platforms. And we'll talk to you next week.
Next week. Bye.